And now presenting
The Truth to Wellness Ministries,
the voice of overseas Christianity, with your hosts,
University Professors Dr. T and June.
Colors of the rainbow, all the voices of the wind.
Well, hello everybody and welcome to Truth to Wellness Ministry. I am Dr. T, one of your hosts. Our program airs every Thursday night, 6 to 6:30, both at this station as well as 91.7 WAPB in Madison, Florida. You can also follow us on the web by going to truthtowellness.com. That again is truthtowellness.com. And if you go to the radio program, you can see both Season 2 and Season 3, which is where we are right now. And you can see the previous programs as well as the programs playing right now. Welcome to part 5 of our view and study of grace and law. If you have not heard the previous parts, I would encourage you to go to our website, truthtowellness.com. That is truth to wellness, three words, no numbers, no spaces, .com. And if you go to radio under the menu, and then click on Season 3, you can see the appropriate lessons and studies. They're all in MP3 format, so the download is not going to be very heavy. So again, that is Truth to Wellness. The logic behind this is, if you know the truth, you will be well. truthtowellness.com, and go to the radio, and then go over to Season 3, and you will find this material. I hope that by now you have come to recognize that law is based on fear, and anybody who has ever driven a vehicle, anybody who has ever sped through a speed trap, will recognize and see that very often the law is made effective through fear. That is also the case through the scriptural journey, and you will find that this is why covenant that was replaced is the covenant of the law. That was the first covenant. Jesus came and said, this is the cup of a new covenant. What was the new covenant? It's the one based on love. And the reason for this is that love is the only perfect form that God wants us to follow. If we are in love with Him, if we have a relationship with Him, we will not worry about walking under law. But the only way that we can have that relationship if the price of the law is already paid. And so that very often is necessary for us to notice and recognize here, because we have to know that we have nothing to offer. And the law is based on us doing the right things. It is based on our strength. It is based on our ability. And we really have nothing to offer. So we are going to talk about this after some music, and start talking about grace, which operates through love.
From my enemies till all my fears have come, I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no
yeah. songs of deliverance. We've been liberated from our bondage. We're the sons and the daughters. Let us sing our
As I study the Bible, I find very often I get a lot of insights about how the first gospel was preached, how the first Christians lived. I get a lot of those insights from even the greetings, from the small things where it tells me of the culture and the climate and how the environment looks like. And it says in Ephesians 6:23-24, peace to the brethren and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all of those who love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Now, I was quite surprised that this is a very common greeting that you find in the scripture. Now, this greeting obviously puts the priorities that Paul saw in Christians, and it didn't say grace with all of those who live righteously. It didn't say grace with all of those who walk perfectly. It said grace be with all those who love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. What is he talking about? This is, again, this when we talk about the second covenant, the covenant that Jesus set up, what are we talking about? We are talking about this relationship, often referred to as grace. Many people misunderstand. They think that grace is forgiveness. Grace is a gift. Forgiveness or mercy is something else. But grace is a gift that's given to us. It's a gift of a relationship. It's the ability to say, Abba, Father. It's ability to say, my daddy. Okay, Abba, Father actually refers to my daddy as opposed to father. It's a close relationship. And you can see that here, he refers to it, even though he doesn't necessarily bring it out in any highlight, because this is something that they have always been used to. And so says, grace be with all of those who love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. You may say it's a small thing, but to me it speaks volumes. We learn here that Jesus' new covenant is based on that love. It's based on that relationship. You can also see where in John 13:35 he states, by this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. Now, this is very important to understand, because we also talked about in the last program about 1 John 4:17 to 19, where he said, love has been perfected amongst us. Amongst who? Us, the Christians. In this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. That we may have boldness. So that means we don't have boldness in the day of judgment if we don't have love that's been perfected. Now he goes on to talk about this, and he says, because as he, Jesus, is, so we are in this world. There is no fear in love. I mentioned this last time. Again, there is no fear in love. Fear, where does fear come from? It comes from the law. It comes from the first covenant, remember? There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. What does this mean? When you get perfect love in your heart, it takes that fear out. I have seen this overseas so many times. Because fear involves torment, torture. And the word torment means torture. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. I mentioned in the last episode that this is not just another thought thrown in about we love him because he first loved us. This is a part of the same thought here, the same verses. It talks about perfect love. So remember, that is what Jesus said, by this they will know that you're my disciples, for you'll have love one for another. It's talking about this love, not just for one another, but love for Christ and relationship with Christ. Because remember, greater love has no man than this, to give his life for another. Okay, and this is what he's talking about, because that love is the reason why he died for us. And if we walk and have a relationship with Jesus Christ, we will have that kind of love. And so, again, as I said a number of previous episodes, if you are a Christian and you claim to have a relationship with Christ and you walk around and you get easily offended about some political question, or you get bitter, or you get start having divisions, well, those are good people and those are bad people. You realize you are still acting in law, not love. You're still in the old covenant, not the new one. And this is very important, because the new covenant, we realize that our worth is like a dirty garment. We have nothing to offer. It is just that he wants to have a relationship with us, and that's all we can do, is get into relationship. But as soon as we get into relationship, he takes care of all of it, and this is why we have no fear, because we know who our God is. This is why we end up having faith. In fact, the Lord taught me when I was overseas that you can't have faith and fear. This is why in many places Jesus said, why are you fearful, O you of little faith? Many places you will see that, because you can't have both. And if you worry about, well, you know, we are to live by the law, and I was taught by my grandmother to live by the law, remember that love is the fulfillment of law. Remember that Romans 13:8 to 10, it says, owe no one anything except to love one another. For he who loves another has fulfilled the law. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not commit murder, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet. And if there be any other commandment, are all summed up in this saying, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of law. Now, you have to keep in mind that the devil tries to reduce the love, the role of love, because the devil has no defense against it. See, when you love, read the chapter 1 Corinthians 13, read the whole chapter, you'll see that it's really hard for the devil to get somebody who is full of love to get upset and to start, you know, acting in a way that the devil wants him to act. it's very, very difficult because love is forgiving. Love takes no offense, and so on. You can read that in a chapter. This is why verse 13 of that chapter, that's again 1 Corinthians 13:13 says, "And now abide faith, hope, and love. These three, but the greatest of this is love." There is a reason for this. I don't have the time to get into why faith, love, and hope and love are here, but and why love is the greatest. But again, there is a reason for it. The whole new covenant that Jesus set up is based on our love, first and foremost for him, and then through him for each other. Now, one interesting topic that I think we often overlook is that if we have the love for the truth, and you know what that means, love for Christ, that that will protect us from the Antichrist influence. I don't know if anybody actually talked about this or if you have ever heard about it, but you can read in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 8 to 10, and let me quote here, "And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, with all power, signs and lying wonders, with all unrighteous deception amongst those who perish, because they," why? "Because they did not receive the love of the truth, that they may be saved." Notice this. Let me read this again. "The coming of lawless one is according to the working of Satan," so it's not from God, we are talking about Antichrist, okay, "and with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love for the truth." It's interesting here, and says later that they may be saved. So it's interesting here that it says they didn't. They doesn't say they didn't go to church. It doesn't say they didn't protest against abortion in front of abortion clinics. It doesn't say they didn't help the poor. And by the way, I'm not in favor of protesting and getting politically involved, just so you know. It didn't say any of that. What is said here is that he will be able, the Antichrist will be able to deceive all those who perish. And then it defines them a little bit better. And I quote, "because they did not receive the love of the truth that they may be saved." Why do they perish? Because they did not receive the love of the truth that they may be saved. They may have been preachers. They have maybe they were maybe even evangelists. See, overseas, we understand this. We understand that your relationship with Christ comes first and foremost. There is no way around it. You either have received the love of the truth and you're saved, or you have not. It's that simple. I know it may sound, you know, it has to be more difficult for some people. It's not. If you receive the love for the truth, you have a relationship with Christ. That's how it describes a relationship. You receive the love for the truth. You didn't do anything. You didn't walk in any way. You simply accepted the love for the truth. Jesus said, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life." So you know it's talking about him in John 14:6. So you know that this what it is talking about. And anybody who has that love for the truth, the Antichrist cannot get him. If we read in Ephesians 1:4, we will see that just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. I don't know if you notice the scripture here. How? How should we be holy and without blame before him? In love. Let me repeat this. He chose us before the foundation of the world, and here I quote, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. If we're not in love, we cannot be holy and without blame. That's what it says here. This is Ephesians 1:4. You know, so this is very important that we understand. And I don't know why here in the Western world we have a problem with this. I guess when you're persecuted, I guess when you have to testify to what you believe in and your testimony has to be strong and firm, then these things come out more. Tom, one other scripture that comes to my heart, the one the first time I read it, and tears came down my eyes when Paul was talking about going home. And in 2 Timothy 4:8, he said, "Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. And not to me only, but also to all those who loved his appearing." Who will get the crown? He said, not me only. And remember, he was a Pharisee. He lived a correct life, and he lived a completely legally true life, if you want to call it that. And he left all of that to preach the gospel. And he said, not to him only, but all of those who lived righteously? No. All of those who attended church? No, that's not what he said. All of those who loved his appearing. Who's appearing? Jesus. All of those who can't wait to be with him. All of those who are waiting for him. All of those who are looking for him to come. In Romans 8:32, we can see the Father's love for us. He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up also for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Think about that. This is a heavenly Father we are talking about, a perfect Father, not like we, very imperfect. Jesus said, "You evil being know how to give good gifts. How much more Heavenly Father is able to give to those who call upon him?" We see also the same kind of idea in Romans 8:28 says, "For we know that all things work together for good to those who," what? "To those who love God." Let me repeat this. "And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose." We also see in Titus, when he talks about God's love and says, "But when the kindness of the love of God, our Savior towards men appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit." So we see that the love is the critical ingredient of this new covenant, that is the gospel. And why? Because love is part of the process of adoption. As I shared in the last program, when I adopted my daughter, she did not have to be better than other children. She did not have to be more beautiful than other children. She was not a better student. The only requirement is that I love her. And once I adopted her, that was permanent. If she now turned to be really bad, this and that, she's still my daughter. I may deal with it, there may be consequences, but she's still my daughter. And I think that as long as we stay adopted, I'm not saying once saved, always saved. I'm not saying that. But as long as we stay adopted, as long as my daughter doesn't say, "Dad, I don't want to be your daughter anymore," we will work it out. And that is how our Heavenly Father is. As long as we love him and we are in a relationship, you don't have to worry about your salvation. You don't have to worry because he is our Father. As long as you love him, as long as you walk, he will take care. And yes, if we do things wrong, there are consequences. That is true. But he's still our Father. Ephesians 1, 4-6 says, "Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love," again, "before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved." What is he talking about here? Adoption. He having predestined us to the adoption as sons. In other words, we are becoming the sons, the heirs. People have the right to his inheritance by Jesus Christ, through Jesus Christ, to himself, the Father. Romans 8:15 to 17. Let me read it again and I'll finish with this. "For you did not receive the spirit of bondage, again to fear." That's the law side, okay? That is the loss that he's talking about. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. And the Spirit himself bears witness to our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. This is the testimony of Christians from overseas. Yes, those Christians sometimes suffer. Yes, sometimes they're persecuted. I myself was arrested 3 times overseas for preaching the gospel. But I can tell you one thing. That is not that difficult if you have a relationship with him. It doesn't say that our road will be easy. We have to walk in that relationship. But it's not about how well we fill in the law and how well we walk within the legal framework. It's about how much we love and how much we work towards being his children. And that is really, let me finish with that scripture again. For you did not, and again, when I finish, please keep in mind, prayerfully in mind, what's happening overseas and how much of a price people over there are paying in underground churches, in underground meeting places, and some of them are meeting in prisons. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. Romans 8:15-17. God bless you all. It is my hope and my prayer that you understand this mystery of the gospel. That you understand this mystery that gives many of us overseas strength and courage to continue. Give us ability to continue even though there is significant resistance over there, not like here. But this is where the strength comes from. It's not in politics, it's not in arguments, it's not in divisions, and my heart goes out to this country because we are so divided, whichever side you're on. But it is in this sense of adoption, being the children of God. I think that our churches have to go back to this. I think that our preachers have to start preaching love again. I think that our preachers have to start caring more about Jesus than other comforts and securities that they may be looking at day to day. God bless you all.
The preceding was a presentation by Truth to Wellness Ministries Incorporated, a not-for-profit corporation.
All the events portrayed are true. Some information may have been disguised for security reasons. For more information, please contact us via email at truthtowellness@gmail.com.